We're looking at the Psalms during the rest of the summer. We're in Psalms 100. We handled verse 1 and 2 last Sunday. We're going to handle verse 3 today, but I want to read them all to you. Shout triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us. We are his people, and we are the sheep of his pasture. Let's pray together. Would you bow with me? Let's tell the Father that we love him today from our heart to his heart. May he hear from you. He loves to hear from you. Today we acknowledge him. And then let's be thankful. Let the Holy Spirit remind you in this next minute on what you need to be thankful for, who he is, what he does, what he reveals, how he leads. How he leads us through. You give thanks. Remember, when we give thanks, then our anxiety and our thankfulness can't occupy the same place. So we give him thanks. Take a moment and pray for people who overlap into your life. There are folk in our community, our family of faith, that sickness and disease is there. There are people who are going, needing spiritual direction, financial help. There are people who need help carrying their burdens, their emotional load that they're carrying in their life. There are people who need Christian friends, good truth tellers to help them, disciple them. Just pray for those people that you know. Pray for them. Give their name and their situation to our Heavenly Father. We don't want to do the praying for you. We want you participating in this prayer together. Let's pray for the nations. We always do. No matter how big or small a church may be, numerically we're called to the nations. So pray for nations that you have an affinity for. You've served, you've been there, you've traveled, you've vacationed, you have relatives there, something. Pray for his movement over the nations. Biblically, he has swept nations. Recent history, he has swept nations. There are great movements of God going on outside of our nation. Great movements of God going on now. So pray for the nations. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, what's happening in Gaza and Iran. Pray for the peace over the war with Russia and Ukraine. Pray for world peace. Be desperate about praying for that. We desire that. The Lord said, blessed are we who seek that and who are peacemakers. Whether it's in a conversation or it's a continent, we pray for peace. Pray for our nation, our hearts would turn to him again. Pray for God's movement among our people. Not where it starts first or who gets the credit, but that it just begins in our own hearts. Pray for what's happened in Texas with that area, with Kerrville. And Lord, pray for them. Pray for the responders, the recovery efforts, the chaplains, Lord, the families that have had those taken away from them, Lord, who have been killed. And we pray for them, Lord. Pray for all of that relief effort. We pray for your gospel to be given, the hope that only you can bring to be restored. And then would you pray a blessing over those who are around you today, even though you don't know who they are. And then your family, pray a blessing over your family, wherever they may be today. Ask the Lord to bless your offering today. You gave electronically or you brought it to the storehouse today. We use that to advance the gospel, to advance the kingdom every day. Every day we use this in some capacity as a base of operation so the gospel will be taken to people, not only here, but there. So ask the Lord to bless our offerings today. And then remember, there's a greater offering than any money that we brought. And that offering is you. Ask the Lord to bless you, to work in you, to work through you, to send you. Lord, here am I. Use me, send me. Let's present ourselves as living sacrifices today. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit, any word of knowledge that you give to me to speak to a person or their situation. If you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, you look at all of us today. You see me differently. I'm your teacher. I'm your preacher. On me is a greater and a more strict judgment than anybody in the room. I know that, and I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you all today. Thank you for being here. I'm in the altar, so you can go home and say, our pastor was even in the altar today. You can go ahead and do that if you want to. But I just try to change it up just a little bit. I do like to feel closer to you. Usually when I preach revival, I'm in the altar and I look a little more Pentecostal than you know me to be. I'm up in here and around everywhere. All right. So, but I like to be close to you if I can. And I know when I do this, people go, I can't see you. So I hop back up there. So during the summer, I'll switch it out a little bit. Psalm 100 is where we are. We use verses 1 and 2. Last Sunday, which even is a picture of worship and shouting triumphantly and victoriously. And remember, I told there's a lot of expression there in 1 and 2. And I told you I'm not here to tell you to be expressive, but I am tell you to let's let our worship be more than a thought and a whisper. Okay, let's one of my professors said, let's just turn it up a little bit, you know? So he certainly deserves that. But today we're handling verse 3. Acknowledge that the Lord is God, Yahweh. I use the Holman version. That's why Yahweh is there. It means the Lord. Acknowledge that Yahweh, the Lord, is God. He made us and we are his people, and we are the sheep of his pasture. When we begin, and I want to handle just acknowledge that he, the Lord, is God. I want to focus there for just a moment. It means to know. Acknowledge means to know, to recognize, to confess, all those things in your life. And I want to break those down for just a moment. And I want to start with acknowledge. When I was putting this sermon together, I immediately went to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. A life verse of ours, I've shared it a million times, I'll hopefully share it a million more. But in this passage, it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't rely on your own understanding. I have to continually disciple you, remind you, following the Lord doesn't always follow logic, okay? It doesn't always follow your logic. I know we get into that, quickly get into that, because it's logical to think that. But following him does not mean always following the logical thing. So don't rely on your own understanding, which means don't always rely on your own logic. Think about him. This is what I want to emphasize with the word acknowledge today. Think about him or acknowledge him in all your ways. And there's a promise here in the proverb, and he will guide you on the right paths, or you may have learned it, he'll make your path straight. So I want to look at verse 6 to acknowledge him. And we've broken it down here at Hope Church that there are four ways. We just group them in four ways. And that is where you live, work, learn, and play. Obviously where we live, our workplace, our campus where we work, institutions of learning, we're there, or even where you do your recreation. All the people in all those places need to know who my Lord is. They need to know who I serve. They need to know who my God is. It needs to be happening that where we live, work, and learn and play, if they were to mention your name, they would always just say, listen, that person follows the Lord. That he is first and foremost in their life. And then we handle the word confess, which comes out of knowing or acknowledging. So my mind went to Romans 10, 9, 10, and 11. That even in these places where we live, work, learn, and play, we confess that he is our Lord. Look at what it says in Paul wrote to the Romans. If you confess with your mouth, speaking it, Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. Now the scriptures say, everyone who believes on him will not be put to shame. You'll never be disappointed in putting your faith and trust in Christ. Now, you may wonder sometimes, man, when is this going to happen? And that just makes faith even more glorious when it does happen. I'm not saying you don't build in patience with that. It's not a McDonald's drive-through with the Lord, you know? But, you know, it happens in a crock pot, not always a microwave, you know? So we have to be patient. But when our faith comes through, is that not an incredible time of rejoicing on the Lord? And I have to realize his timing is much better than mine. I certainly want it to happen faster. Who doesn't? But then I have to learn to trust him. My faith and my trust is in him so that I'm acknowledging the Lord. I'm letting people know that he is Lord of my life. I speak it from my mouth that he is Lord. Only to give you a reminder, every disciple that died that we have in the biblical format of Jesus' group of disciples, all of them but one died by execution. All of them but one were confessing him as Lord to the last breath that they gave. They didn't let any easy way take away their declaration that Jesus is Lord of my life. And when we handle Psalm 103, it's kind of neat to have this to lean up against it. I guess it means it's just going to be longer sermons. You know, maybe you want me back on the stage. But the picture is that we are acknowledging it. The world knows that we know him. I want you to see in Jeremiah, it's probably a verse you not really dealt with a lot. You might want to jot this one down just to look at it a little deeper. But Jeremiah 9:23-24. Is a desire for him, for you to know him. It's his desire for you to know him. But this is what the Lord says. The wise man must not boast in his wisdom. The strong man must not boast in his strength. The wealthy man must not boast in his wealth. But the one who boasts should boast in this, that he understands and knows me. And I believe this is going to be part of the challenge of today's sermon, but I believe in America, and I'm going to talk about American culture, but I can more predominantly talk about Kentucky culture, but I see it in a nation format, is that we've gotten to a place in church life in North America that we attend, we make a decision, we walk an aisle, we shake a preacher's hand, we go through baptism, and we should do all those things. But we just stop. I think sometimes our problem is we want to know what's the least that I need to do for the Lord so that I can just make it. What's the least I need to do? What is it? What's the very least I need to do? And here there's a desire for God to have a desire for me to know him deeper. I'm waning away from being your pastor. There's no secret, and don't go out of here and start a rumor that I've resigned today. I haven't, but it won't be too much longer till there'll be another pastor here, and that's fine. Some of you are like, well, it'd be hard for Jeff to give up Hope Church. I'll probably surprise you on that, because when I leave here, I know there's more ministry in store for me. It may not just be here. But I'll be involved in discipling people, mentoring young pastors in some capacity, inner healing ministries. I know that the Lord will be using me with that. But it's just a matter of when. So leaving here is not like I'm done. You know, there's yet more for me to discover in what the Lord would have me to do. It hasn't quit. It's not going to quit. Sometimes, but I think we've quit. And we just gotten to a point, I know enough about him to get to heaven. You know, I've just checked the boxes to get to heaven. And that's it. But I want you to see in Jeremiah to the prophet, the weeping prophet, where he said, I have a desire for them to have a desire to know me and to understand me and to know the heart of God. I know David had some marks against him in his life. He made some horrible decisions in his life, but he ended up being a man where his description of him was, he was a man, can you all finish it? After God's own heart. And that's what he's trying to say to us. I know I can look in your past, you know, and you can look in mine and you go, well, man, that just disregards him, you know, that disqualifies him. But yet in the newness of God, I know there are things for us to do and for you to serve. And as we handled in Psalm 100, we serve with gladness, but there's a desire for him to desire for us to know him and understand him. Don't ever quit that, sir. Remember I told you when we started this sermon series that it was, we seek him, he searches us. We seek him, we're constantly going, what's the heart of God in this matter? What is it? So that he understands and he knows me. Maybe leaning up against this does make the sermon longer. That he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord. Showing faithful love, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For I delight in these things, he says. This is the Lord's declaration. He desires you to desire to know and understand him in a deeper way. Just don't think we've got it there. Paul even wrote this about himself. I've not obtained it all. You and I would look at Paul and go, Paul's up there. You know, his spiritual resume, it's up there. And then Paul would look at us and go, I've not obtained it all. But you and I would look at Paul and go, man, you've obtained it all. And he's gonna go, no, I haven't. Because there's so many depths to God. There are levels that you know and that even Paul even knows, but there are levels for us to go to get to know the character of our God. Look at Hebrews 11:6. There's one central part in this I want you to get. I want you to get all of it, but now without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I'm gonna have faith in him. Even when I can't see what he's doing, I gotta trust that he's doing it. What is it the old saying is, when I can't see his hand, I trust his heart. When I really can't see things going on, it's impossible to please God. For the one who draws near to him must believe, and here's the part I wanna focus on, that he exists. And he rewards those who diligently seek him. We seek him, he searches us, but he rewards those who seek after him. Remember in Jeremiah, that's his declaration. We used this last Sunday a little bit, and I'll repeat it because I think it's worthy to be repeated. And that is, it comes down to when we say acknowledge him in Psalm 103, that we acknowledge that he, the Lord, is God. It means I've settled it in my heart. There's no more wrestling in my heart. It's all settled there. My heart and soul is settled. It's well with my soul. You know, recently with the death of Dr. Hamilton in first service and this service, there are many of us who he's our primary care physician and friend. And was a friend to our family. And I won't go into all the details of that, but really close friends to a lot of people in this church too, past being their primary care physician. And his untimely death at 47, it felt like an earthquake to our area, didn't it? And I remember Tim Baker texting me on July the 4th, the Friday morning they found him, he had passed away, that Tim texted me. And I can remember looking at the text in the morning, and my mind would not receive that message. I'm just trying to tell you, it's like my mind had other hands, and it's just like it's pushing the message away. Like, you know, Tim must have met somebody else. And I know Dr. Hamilton, I know his faith, his trust is in the Lord. I know the truth and the promises of all that, but it was still a gut punch. And this is what I have to help you with as a pastor. The gut punch is we're saddened by what happened to him. We are. We miss him. We grieve with and for the family, his patience. I've even been praying for that office. You know, people are scrambling. Who's going to be my next primary care? And I don't mean they're thinking selfishly, but there's just a lot that is the ripple effect of that. But here's what we end up dealing with the gut punch is, though we mourn him and grieve his passing, even though we know the truth of his existence, it's well with his soul. We're dealing with our own mortality is what we're dealing with. If that can happen to him, and he's a doctor, well, then that can happen to me. I remember when I was 32, one of my best friends died, Jeff Rexroad, of a brain tumor. And he lived in Noblesville, Indiana, north of Indianapolis. And there was a funeral there and then a funeral back home. And so I was a part of the one back home. And I remember dealing with this. I knew Rex. I've known him since I was 14 years old. We worked together just every day in the summer. We've played a gazillion million ball games together all over the state of Kentucky. When I'm leaning with my foot, that means it is going to be a long sermon, by the way. Not only did I deal with a friend and grieving his loss, but I was dealing with my own mortality. I even said this to Julie the other day. Rex has been dead longer than he was alive on this earth. I actually still have his funeral outline on my desk at home. It's still there visible for me. And as it just becomes a reminder, here's the thing, folks. We've got to settle it. We've got to settle it in our hearts and in our souls that it is well with me. Whatever age it happens, everything's fine. It's okay. It's got to, that's really when we know, that the Lord is God, it's settled. It's settled in our hearts. It's settled in our souls. And then we respond, God, there is no one like you. No one like you. Let's look at the second part of Psalm 103. It says he made us. You may have a version that says, and we didn't make ourselves, which we didn't. He's not talking about creation here where mankind was formed. He's talking about his people. He's looking for his people. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 6. I want you to see this. This is how you repay the Lord because they were living disobediently. This is how you repay the Lord, which means with your disobedience. You foolish and senseless people, isn't he your father and creator? Didn't he make you and didn't he sustain you? Has he not been the one who has made you and held you up during all the things that you go through in your life? So he's looking for his people out of the creation of people. So out of the 8 billion that we have, whatever that is, you can look it up or do a check and find out what the actual number is. But out of all those billions of people, he's looking for his people. Look at 1 Peter 2:9. And Peter writes this. He said, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are a people for his possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's looking for his people among the people. He's looking for that. And you're going, well, how's he find us? Do we all have on same color t-shirt? You know, how does that happen? Well, the Father's drawing you. When the Father draws you, I don't draw you. I can't draw you. The Father is drawing people to himself. But here's how, this is what he looks for in our hearts. 2 Chronicles 16:9. It's a life verse of mine. For the eyes of the Lord, Yahweh, roam throughout the earth to show himself strong for those whose hearts are completely his. Hearts that are loyal, They are loyal. Where am I loyal? Where you live, work, learn, and play. Those four areas, we use those to encompass every part of your life. That wherever I am, where I'm living, where I'm working, where I'm learning, where I'm playing, they all know that I confess Jesus is Lord of my life. I'm looking for those who have loyal hearts, who have been foolish, and you have been foolish in this matter, therefore you will have wars to come. And that's a message to King Asa, who started off great, he finished horribly. Started off great with the Lord. He didn't finish great with the Lord. And because he started putting his faith and trust in other kings and other treaties instead of putting his faith and trust in the Lord. So what's he looking for? Out of all the people, how does he find his people? He sees that you have a heart. It's a heart that he's been drawing and a heart that wants to be loyal. Where we live, work, learn, and play. It's a surrendered heart. It's a redeemed heart. But then what's our problem? I'm going to talk about our nation. What's our problem, our cultural problem? And our problem is we can think we're everything and that the Lord is just, meh. You know, just meh. That he may be something. That he is, the picture I've always had as a pastor, even when I was a young pastor, is sometimes the way I think we treat the Lord, this is for me. If it helps you, good. But this helps me. And that is that we're in a restaurant setting at a table, and he's just the waiter and the busboy, and we just summons him. Go do this. You go do that. I want that. And get me that. And, you know, that kind of thing. And we just treat the Lord in such a fashion. That becomes a picture of what I see in my mind. We become entitled people with entitled expectations that our life is me, myself, and I. It's just grouped in that way that we deserve, just be transparent with you for a moment. When our son-in-law, Tom, passed away, my best friend, Steve Ayers, called. And again, I've told you, he doesn't call me Jeff. He calls me Eaton. Eaton, we'll check in on you, okay? How you doing, man? I will. You know, you can figure it out. And he said, I want to tell you something. I said, okay. And we just have a pact. We say things to each other. We say the hard things to each other, the difficult things. And he goes, we sometimes, if we're not careful, we think we preachers deserve something a little more than somebody else, don't we? And he had just recently been severely burned in an accident. I think Ayers has gone through probably 25 or 30 surgeries when you look at all of them. He says, we get to thinking that we preachers, that I had a greater surrender to the Lord than you did. That's wrong for me to think that way, but we can think that way. That my surrender is a little deeper than your surrender. And so Lord, if I'm thinking with logic, right, which I shouldn't, then I'm going, since my surrender is a little deeper, then Lord, I've got an expectation of you to answer in a little more than anybody else. He goes, Eaton, I want to remind you something. You and I don't deserve a thing. We don't deserve anything. I mean, my denial to the Lord, my disappointment with the Lord, my disobedience to the Lord, born into original sin, all of us, our rebellion against him, I don't deserve anything. And you know why I think sometimes we don't get into the Word of God is because the Word of God will remind me and you that he is everything and we are nothing. And we don't like that. Because we expect to get a trophy if we just make the team. It's just the entitlement. It's just the expectation of it. I've done this, Lord, so I deserve this. And And then the truth of it is, we said this, and we're not the only one, the song we sang today said the same thing. If he never does a blessing in my life, ever, if I don't receive one, even the song we sang, if my life is nothing but suffering, let me look back and see what he did for me on Calvary. Him dying for me, saving me, was enough. Was enough. Absolutely enough. And we need a reminder from his word, his presence, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, all of it. We need a reminder that he's everything and I'm nothing. And we get to that. The old country preacher said he had proof that God wrote scripture. And of course it says that it's God breathed. Scripture is, it's inspired by God. And I know he gave revelation to man to do it, but he's like, I know that God is the author of it all. And so people are going, well, how do you know that? And he said, because if man wrote this book, he would never condemn himself. Just think about that for a moment. We would be the hero if you and I wrote it. You know, we're not, if you're an unbeliever today in this room, you're not going to be condemned. You already are. Scripture says you're already condemned. And that he came to rescue becomes the gospel message. So I want to give you a few verses of scripture that remind us that he's everything and I'm nothing. And I need to see that in my life. I need to be reminded of that in my life. 1 Corinthians 13 verses 1 and 2. You know, this is the love chapter. If I speak human or angelic languages, but do not have love, I am a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith that can move mountains, we've probably known people who thought they could do all those things, but I do not have love, what does it say? I'm nothing. I'm absolutely nothing. Even if I can do all this stuff, but I don't love with the compassion of Christ, man, I am nothing. Look at Psalm 144, verses 3 and 4. Lord, what is man that you care for him, the son of man, that you think of him? Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. It's a vapor. Our life is a mist. We're only here for a little while. But while we're here, the Father draws you. He's just looking for your heart to be loyal. And where I live, work, and learn and play, let all those areas of my life know that I confess him as Lord. He's looking for that loyal heart. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility, consider others as more important than yourselves. You and I will amen that, but I don't know that we live that. You'll amen it. But I got to think of other people. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 3. For if anyone considers himself to be something, what does it say? When he is nothing, he deceives himself. We have to be reminded of who he is. It's really what worship becomes, is placement of it. It's a time when we're reminded of who he is and who we are not. Psalm 103, the last part of it, says that we are his people and we are like sheep. He's our shepherd. It becomes a picture of him being our shepherd. Obviously, you know Psalm 23, but look at Psalm 95, 6 and 7. It says here, come let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our maker, for he is our God and we are the people of his pasture. We're the people in the people. Become his people. His pasture, the sheep under his care. Today, if you hear this, and then the next verse goes on to say, you know, surrender your hearts to this. John 10, 27, the good shepherd passage. My sheep, they hear my voice. And look what he says. I know them and they follow me. We know the voice of our shepherd. And we have a desire to know him as he has a desire for us to have a desire to know him. So he is our God and he made us. We're not talking about Adam and Eve out of dust and a rib here. We're not talking that. We're talking about we're his people among people. And how does he find us? He finds us with our loyal hearts to him. The Father has summoned and we have surrendered. And then we have loyal hearts. And I just got to ask the preacher question. Are you letting him be your shepherd? You're going through things, you got decisions to make. Some of them are earthly and fleshy and even worldly decisions, but are you bringing him into those decisions? Are you looking at him as your shepherd? Where are you putting your faith and trust in him? Your surrender to him? Pisteo faith in the New Testament means we're all in faith. Are you there? You can be there. The Father beckons you to come. Our worship in Psalm 101 through 3 reminds us of the placement that we have. Shout triumphantly to the Lord. Remember, we don't do this for victory. We do it from victory. We already have it. Do it all the earth. Serve the Lord and do it with gladness, not a ball and a chain, you know. I want to serve the Lord. I'm happy to serve the Lord. Come before him with joyful songs and singing. And then today, let's acknowledge him as Lord. Where we live, work, learn, and play, they all should know who we serve and who our God is. And remember, he made us. We did not make ourselves. He made us. We're not talking about creation. We're talking about you. He made you. He made you. And we are his people. And we become the sheep of his pasture. I'm a huge fan of Rich Mullins, huge, huge fan. He was killed tragically in, I remember we talked about that. Tragically killed in a car accident. I think it was in Indiana, Illinois, that area, but he was going to a concert, either going there or coming from there, one of the two. And he has a song called Creed, which is based after the Apostles' Creed. I'm not going to read you the whole song, but a lot of Christian artists have followed that, and they've got songs that duplicate what he's done. But there's a certain area of one of his songs in Creed, or one of the lyrics in Creed that I want to give you. But I want to start with here. He says, "I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and Maker of earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord. I believe in the Holy Spirit, one holy church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin. I believe in the resurrection, and I believe in a life that never ends." Now here's the segment, and those are important, but here's the segment I want you to focus on. I believe what I believe is what makes me what I am. And he's going to be repeating here, okay? So hang on. I did not make it. No, it is making me. I did not make it. No, it is making me. I said, I did not make it. No, it is making me. It is the very truth of God. This is the part. And not the invention of any man. Amen. He made us. We didn't make ourselves. He is everything. I'm nothing. And you're going, preacher, am I really nothing? Comparatively to him, no. Paul says it's all loss. There's nothing. Everything is mine. I can lose it all. It doesn't matter compared to my relationship to him. You're hearing that come out of people who've lost a lot recently, even in the floods, in our state and even in Texas. And it's giving them a perspective. And I'm not saying it happened to do that, but the perspective is coming through that he makes us. We are the sheep of his pasture. So today, here's the prayer that I hope we all get to that puts all this sermon together, okay? And that is Psalm 79:13. I want to read it to you. "Then we, Lord, your people, the sheep of your pasture, we will thank you forever." We will thank you forever. We will declare your praise to generation after generation. Can we say that together? Let's say that together. "Then we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will thank you forever. We will declare your praise to generation after generation." And that becomes our prayer. When he sees you, where you live, work, learn, and play, may he find a loyal heart. And what he'll do with that loyal heart is he'll show himself strong through that loyal heart, and we will thank him. Lord, you are everything. There is no one like you. No one. And Lord, there's no one before you. You're above all things. All things. And then Jesus becomes the image of an invisible God to us. Look at how precious he's done this. Do you see his desire for me and you to have a desire to know and understand him? And guys, let's build that, okay? There's a million Bible studies you can get. If you want recommendation or me to bless one, send it my way. I'll look. If you need the principal approval, I'll give it to you, okay? But there's tons of things out there. Let's learn and know and understand our God on a deeper level and the compassion he has for us and even for others. And let's make this our prayer. Let me pray over you. Father, I pray over our people today. We pray, we know your word has blessed us today, Lord. It always blesses us. And it is a stark reminder that we can think we're everything, that our intelligence, our intellect, our creativity, Lord, our wealth, our strength, that you should be asking us advice. And Lord, that's so crazy for us to even think that. And forgive us, Lord, when we have thought of ourselves higher than you, that we don't need you. Forgive us, Lord. And help us to realize you're our shepherd who walks us through everything, even the valley of the shadow of death. You walk us through. And I thank you for the presence and the promise of that. Today we thank you and we sing praises of you to generation after generation. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. Amen. If you stand with me, counselors, would you come find your spot if you will? And the invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come. The team's gonna lead us. You respond.